Welcome back, and it is good to see you. We've got our camera moving around, so I think we're good. Want to just welcome you guys to an interesting Sunday, and the Sunday is a couple days before our national election. And as many of us would say and have been saying, and as the national media has been saying, and as most people I'm talking to right now are saying, this is the most important election ever. Probably. I think there's a lot of validity to that. So today, you may notice, before we get really going here, that I'm wearing a shirt that says Binge Jesus. And I decided to wear this today, one, I like it. But two, I decided to wear this today so that over the next week, if any of us are anxious, if any of us are confused, if any of us get scared, all you got to do is look back on today's live stream, today's teaching, and you can see right here across my chest what the message needs to be for us. If you get scared, if you get confused, if you're feeling anxious, go ahead and binge Jesus, and that's going to be the solution. And that is the solution. It is the ultimate solution, and I figured more than even just my words saying it today, I would do a visible representation for you of what the solution is. It is going ahead and binging on Jesus, and that's the solution, you guys. So here's what we're going to do. We're in the middle of a series called Unite, and we're in week 5, you guys, which is incredible. And we've been talking about this, that a divided world needs a unified church, and that really, as the world is dividing, that we need God's church to unite like never before, because the enemy of our soul's plan is division. And the enemy is trying to divide us, especially divide God's church, because there are implications that go far beyond the simple division. They go deeper than that. And so that's what we're going to lean into again today. I would encourage you to go back and listen to the other parts of this series if you've not done that. They're all online for free. You can check those out, and we have those for you, available for you. And again, leaning into part 5 today. So you guys, it is a big Tuesday coming. We're a couple days out. We're what, like, 48 hours out from a big election, from a big Tuesday. And there's a lot at stake. This weekend, I want to remind us of a universal truth that we all learned, probably most of us learned as kids. And that universal truth is this, is that we cannot control everything that happens, but we absolutely can control how we respond. We can't control everything that happens, but we can control how we respond. Now, that we do have control of some things that happen. We can make inroads into things that happen, but we can't ultimately control all things. That's why we're not God. That's why we're fallible human beings. But we can control how we respond to the things that happen. And so Charles Swindoll says it like this. He says, life is 10% what happens to us, 90% how we react to it. And so, hey, Element Church, here's what I want to start out and really frame today and in the coming week and probably the coming month, maybe the coming year, is that there's a lot at stake in our nation this week. But I want to propose to us that there's something even bigger at stake sitting behind the election. And there's a lot at stake this Tuesday and in the coming week in our nation, but there's something even bigger at stake that many of us may not realize. And the bigger thing that's at stake that some of us may not realize is that what's at stake behind the election is the reputation of Jesus Christ and the reputation of his bride, the church. And that is at stake as well this week and this Tuesday. And so as we go out and we vote and as we go out and we cast our ballots, there's a lot at stake as a nation. But again, what's even more at stake behind that election and behind our nation is the reputation of Jesus and his bride. And I am here today to remind you that Jesus is where our hope is, and that Jesus is, the reputation of Jesus is the highest thing that is at stake, because the enemy wants to divide the church. So whatever happens Tuesday, regardless of the result, there's going to be a lot of loud, opinionated, vocal people sounding off, and there's going to be a lot of anger, and there's going to be a lot of fear. And social media is going to be lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, it's going to be on fire, you guys. It's going to be like crazy. And Christians, Jesus followers, are going to have the opportunity, and a very enticing opportunity, to get pulled right into the middle of the fray of all of the negativity. And that's why I believe that even though there's a lot at stake for our nation this week, I think there's even more at stake for the reputation of Jesus and his bride. And so here's the deal. If we're not careful, we're going to get invited in, and it's going to be a convincing invitation, and we're going to get invited in to focusing on opinions that don't ultimately matter, and we're going to get lulled into fighting battles that can never be won on a comment section in social media. So let me just encourage us as Jesus followers that we cannot win and solve the battles of the world in the comment section on social media. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have debate on social media if you feel called to do that. I'm not hating on that. You do what God calls you to do. But let me remind you and encourage you and challenge all of us that the reputation of Jesus and the reputation of his people is at stake over the next week. And there's much at play there. And how we respond over the next week and how we respond to the things we may not be able to control is in direct correlation to our relationship with God. And I think that if our relationship with God, if we are truly with Jesus, then it has to impact how we respond to what happens in this election. And I will say it like this. We probably show more of our character when we lose than when we win. Did you play childhood sports? Did you ever do that? Did you ever play like little league soccer or little league t-ball? And you know, here's the deal. When you win, it's like, of course you have a good attitude when you win. When you lose, right, the coaches come and they say, hey, sportsmanship. Do you remember this? Sportsmanship. Carry your character when you lose. And if at a little league sport level, if that's true, how much more evolved is that as we move into God's kingdom and we move into something like this? And I believe that God has a way for us as Christians, as Jesus followers, to live and to exist in our world as we move toward this election and as we move through this election. And just before we kind of get into points and all of that today, I want to say that some of us are maybe sitting here and we might be thinking like, well, I'm a teenager. I mean, I can't even vote. I don't matter in this whole thing. No, absolutely you matter. You may not be able to vote yet, but the way you represent Jesus and his bride over the next week matters. And you might be here watching this today and you say like, well, I don't do the whole politics thing. I'm just staying out of it. I mean, I just don't even get involved. I can't even handle it. Can I just say, you need to be involved in it. Maybe not in the way that the culture tells you to be involved in it, but you need to be involved in it because there's more at stake than a political election over the next week. There's the reputation of Jesus and his bride. And some of us are like, well, I don't even care. Like, I'm angry, I'm mad, I don't care. Well, you know what? We need to care because our world is where our world is and Jesus cares about our world. So no matter where you find yourself, I encourage you that you matter more than you realize and that we have an opportunity as God's people over this next week and over this next month and maybe over the next year and who knows for how long to represent Jesus and his bride the way that he truly is. And so 2 days before the election of 2020, 2 days before emotions rise and tempers flare, 2 days before opinions run wild and the world gets painted in every possible shade of red and blue, here are three responses for us as Christians. Because more is at stake on Tuesday and in the resulting week than just a political election, it's the reputation of Jesus and his people. And that matters. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that you've called us as your people. And God, we thank you that you give us what we need to walk and to love and to lead in situations like this. God, remind us that there's more at stake over this next week than just a political election, as important as that is. And it is important. But God, there's something even more important, and that's your kingdom. And we thank you for enlightening us today and helping us today learn how to live in the reality of that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, so three responses from us as Christians today. I'm going to give these to you. You can take them down if you're a note taker. Number one is that we must stay in love. And I know that that sounds so cliche. I get it. I understand that sounds like the flannelgram. Do you guys remember that? Like, did you go? I didn't actually go to that many Sunday schools like that, but I know some of us did. It's like, that's like Sunday school 101, like stay in love, love everybody. I get how cliche that sounds. But can I tell you something? What's so interesting about God's kingdom is the things that sound cliche actually have more depth to them than what we actually even can see sometimes. Like I talked to two of my kids this week about this. There's a material world. There's things that are created. This iPad's created. My body's created. I can see this microphone right here in front of me. There are things created in the material world. But then there's an immaterial world that sits outside and beyond the material world and was the causation for the material world to come into existence. So when we point to something immaterial while we live in a material world, wait, did I just quote Madonna? I'm not sure. We are living in a material world. Okay, I don't know how that just happened, but that's not in my notes, by the way. But here's the thing. As we live in a material world, there are things in the immaterial world that create and inform the material world. So let me say this. There is no hesitation for me as a minister of the gospel or as a son of a king to say, here's the answer for the material problems we're facing. It's an immaterial answer. And I know for some of us, that sounds so cliche. It sounds so disconnected. It sounds so tone deaf. It sounds so much like, oh, well, that's not really an answer. That's kind of a cop out. Can I tell you, that means we don't fully understand the nature of the immaterial world and the power that it has over the material world. So when we say stay in love, we're not talking about closing our eyes and sticking our fingers in our ears and la, 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 and just opting out of the material realities that we're facing. We're talking about tapping into something immaterial, something greater than, something beyond us. And the Bible says God does not have love, but God is love. He's the essence and nature of love. So when we say, here's our first response as Christians, is to stay in love, that is not a cliche statement. That is a truth statement about the greatest reality of the immaterial spiritual world breaking in on the material reality that we're living in and saying we choose love because it is an action of warfare. Love is warfare. And the Apostle Paul gives us as Christians very clear guidelines as to how we are to conduct ourselves in a world that is divided and at odds with each other. And I'm going to give you some of the scripture here. Romans 12, Paul's writing to the church in Rome, which was a very divided place at the time. Romans 12, 10 and 11, it says this. He's writing to Jesus followers. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Can I tell you, over the next week, we need to be more passionate about God, not less. We need to be more focused on God, binge Jesus, than less. We need to really lean in and we need to devote ourselves to one another in love. We need to honor one another above ourselves. We need to never be lacking in zeal, and we need to keep our spiritual fervor serving the Lord. There's more. Keep reading. Romans 12, 12 through 14. Paul's writing to us, same passage of scripture. Be joyful in hope. How many of you, as Jesus followers, feel like you can be hopeful and joyful this week? There's a challenge for us. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. There's a lot there. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Can I tell you, that's not just like physical need. Can I tell you, there's going to be many of the Lord's people that are in need over the next week. They're going to need, what do they need? Hope, patience in affliction, faithfulness in prayer. We need each other. We need to share with the Lord's people who are in need. We need to practice hospitality, be hospitable. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So that sounds so cliche. That sounds like kids playing together on a playground. Right. And the enemy loves to make those kind of things cliche. And God says that is an immaterial, supernatural concept that breaks in on the material world. We bless and we do not curse. We should be doubling down on prayer this week. We should be patient this week. We should be full of joy this week. We should be speaking blessing, not cursing. This week, we should be sharing with those in need, anti-fear kind of people. We should be an anti-fear people, and we should be sharing anti-fear with others because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We'll keep reading here. Paul's continuing to write. Isn't this good? Isn't God's word so good for us? It just speaks right to what we're dealing with. I love this. Romans 12, 15, 16. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, do not be willing to associate with, or do be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Everybody look at me and smile at me. Paul's bringing some heat. He's like, look, don't be proud, live in harmony with one another, be willing to associate with people of low position, don't be conceited. Can I tell you, more is at stake in this next week than just an election. The reputation of Jesus and his church is at stake. Everybody look at me. Don't be conceited. Don't be arrogant. Let's love people well. And whether you and your political position win or lose this week, if we even know by this week, this is what God says to us. Romans 12, it goes on, 12, 17 through 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So repay good for evil. Do what's right in the eyes of everyone on both sides of the aisle. Live at peace, no revenge, leave room for God. These are great things for us. Romans 12, 20 through 21. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then check this out. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, hey, Jesus followers, hey, Element Church, remember that our response, if we don't win, says more about our character than if we do win. Remember, we talked about Little League sports. I'll move past that for now. Okay, may our language and our posts honor Jesus more than our political persuasion this week. With our family and our school and our posts, win or lose, Element Church, everybody, stay in love. Stay operating in love. It is not closing our eyes and putting our fingers in our ears and la la lying. It is the supernatural breaking in on the natural. We need to stay in love. Now, how do we do that? Well, instead of debating with a friend, we pray for them. Seriously, like how many, I'll be honest, I've had a lot of frustrations in this political season with people on both sides of the aisle, red, blue. I'm a non-discriminatory frustrator. I've been frustrated with everybody. So here's the deal. But how often do I stop and pray for those people instead of debating them or being frustrated with them and praying for them? That should convict all of us. So how do we do that? Instead of debating with our friends, let's pray for them. Let's bless them. Let's honor them. Instead of hating on people with different views, let's empathize with them and listen to them and let's love them. Instead of throwing insults around, let's be respectful. Let's make valid points that honor people. Do you know one of the hardest things, I forget who said it, they said one of the hardest things is to carry the truth and not act like it. And that doesn't mean we don't share the truth. That means the posture of our soul and our being is that we're not arrogant and conceited when we carry the truth. Because the truth is like a double-edged sword, the Bible says. It can cut. And when you have something that cuts, like truth, you can use it to bludgeon someone, or you can be careful with it and use it to do surgery. And we need to pay attention to how we are dealing with people in a season like this. And hey, who's watching us right now as Jesus followers? Everyone. Parents, your kids are watching you. Hey, parents, listen to me. Your kids are watching you. They're watching how you respond. They hear what you say in your home. Young adults, your friends are watching. Teenagers, you can't even vote yet. Your friends are watching. Christians, the world's watching. And how we respond communicates a lot about the God we serve. So number one, we need to stay in love. Number one, we need to stay trusting in love. We need to stay in love. Number two, we need to stay trusting in God's sovereignty. Can I tell you something? I don't know if you ever thought about this like this. Do you know that God's kingdom existed before the world, right? Follow me on this. I know you know this, but just let's take this journey together. God's kingdom existed before creation. God's kingdom was the causative factor of creation. And in creation, after thousands and thousands of years, right? Who knows what the time, I don't know what the timeline has been. There's a country called America that came into existence. And in that country, in America, in the created world that came created because of God's kingdom, there's a political structure where there's two parties and we have to pick a box. And that's taking place right now. And so in a very real way, that's very important. And in a whole nother way, God's kingdom is not shaking right now. And God's kingdom existed before the creation and before America existed and will exist beyond America's creation. I was reading John Piper a little bit, and he said that America will be a footnote in the annals of history of God's kingdom. It will be like God's kingdom as we look at the history of God's kingdom for all of eternity. America will be this like speck or dot. It will be a footnote. It'll be one part. Now, that's not to diminish the importance of America. It's not to diminish the importance of what's happening all around us. It's not to say we shouldn't vote. It's not to say we shouldn't care about politics. It's to say that we need to understand what we care first about. And I will say this, you guys, we have to trust in God's sovereignty. We have to trust in God's kingdom. God's kingdom was here before the world, and God's kingdom will be here after this world passes away. And that is where our trust and our hope is. Ben's Jesus. Again, I'm going to keep reminding you. For some of us, this next week is going to test our trust in the sovereignty of God, because we cannot imagine that God would let the other candidate win the election. And can I tell you something? God will be on the throne on Wednesday, assuming we can figure out on Tuesday who wins, which who knows. But God will be on the throne on Wednesday of his kingdom. No matter who wins the election, God will be on the throne of his kingdom. And we remember that our answer is not in politics. Our answer is Jesus. So should we get out and vote? Yes. I want to be super clear about something. Some people have understood this series, Unite, and kind of my position in talking about politics as kind of translated over to, well, we should be indifferent to politics. Can I be super clear? I don't think we should be indifferent to politics. I think we should passionately debate politics, and I think we should vote. I think this is all very important. So I hope you hear me say that. I think that the thing is, though, is we need to understand that our answer is not ultimately in politics. Our answer ultimately is in God's kingdom. And we do not know God's plan, but we know that he has one. And we know that God, despite what men and women do with their own free will, we know that God is still on his throne and God's agenda will still happen. So I wrote this down in my notes like this. Jesus is not a Republican or a Democrat. He's a king over a greater kingdom than America or any political party within it. Jesus is doing his own thing. Jesus Tony Evans said, he didn't come to take sides, he came to take over. Psalm 20 verse 7 says it like this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Remember also, will you with me, let's go on a little historical journey, and a little biblical historical journey, that God often does his best work in hostile and adverse times. I don't know if that makes us very comfortable, but it is true. That God often does his best work. Sometimes God will allow ungodly or unholy rulers. Sometimes God will allow Pharaoh to be in Egypt and be in control for 400 years. And then he'll show off his power and he'll deliver his people out of Egypt. Or sometimes God will allow Herod so that Jesus could be born in Bethlehem. Sometimes God will allow Nebuchadnezzar to demonstrate to his people through Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he is with us in the fire and in the lion's den. And God often does his best work in hostile and adverse times. And I'm not saying even that I'm not trying to be like some apocalyptic voice right now and saying bad's coming. I don't know what all is coming. Here's what I know. God will be in the middle of whatever comes. And our trust is not in a political system to right all the things that will come through the strength of man, horses, and chariots. But our trust is in God's sovereignty over all things. And over and throughout scripture, God allowed adverse political conditions so that people would get desperate and turn to him and grow up and mature into him. Did everybody hear me say that? I don't know what God's plan is, but I know that God is sovereign over all things. And I wrote this in the notes. We are not promised peaceful circumstances in our world. You can't read the Bible for 2 minutes and come away with the idea that we're promised peaceful circumstances in our world. Jesus actually said the exact opposite. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So I'll say it again. We're not promised peaceful circumstances in our world. We are promised that the God of peace will be with us in all circumstances. Now, this really matters as we move into this week, because God's sovereign. He's on his throne. His kingdom reigns supreme. He's not afraid and biting his nails right now. His kingdom is not shaking. God is okay, and we can join him. And this is not on my notes, but you know, if you think about, you know, in the New Testament, there's a storm or a squall that comes over this boat, and there are professional fishermen who live their lives and do their careers on the water in boats. These are people that are very experienced, and a storm comes in and it's terrifying them. They think they're going to die. This is a bad storm, okay? And they're looking for Jesus, and he's in the bottom of the boat, curled up with a pillow, sleeping. And they go to him and they say this: Jesus, don't you care? Isn't it amazing that when we kind of charge God with something in tumultuous times, we ask if he really cares. And I think it shows what I've been talking about, the dichotomy here of like, we're in this material existence, God, and you really don't care. And he's like, no, you don't understand. It's not that I'm not taking the material seriously. It's that there's an immaterial supernatural that so supersedes the material, and you don't quite understand the reality of that yet. And that's why Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And I've often wondered to myself what true faith would have looked like in a moment like that. And instead of shaking Jesus awake and saying, don't you care about us? Where are you, God? Why aren't you doing something the way that I understand it? Why don't you move? Why don't you wake up? What if I grabbed a pillow and snuggled up next to Jesus and I rested with him? And over the next week, through coronavirus and racial unrest and now the election, a lot of us have been tested in our faith, and I want to encourage us and challenge us, and I want to challenge us over this next week. Hey, we need to lean into the sovereignty of God, because his kingdom is not shaking. James 1:3 actually says it like this. Consider all pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Did you catch that? Consider it joy. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Let me just tell you what that just said. It just said there's a bigger picture going on here than what you're dealing with in the material world. I'll read you another one. James 1:12, as you skip ahead a couple verses. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood that test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Did you see it? There it is again. You want me to show it to you in another spot? I'll show it to you in another spot. I mean, it's all through the Bible, but we're just taking spots here. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. This is fun. I think I'm going to try to read this off the screen. Never done that before. I just thought about it. Here we go. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Make sure I'm still speaking into my microphone here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I'm going to read it right here so I can keep speaking into your mic. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Did you see it? The material reality. We're being pressed. We're struggling. Yet inwardly, in our soul, in our spirit, we are being renewed day by day. And then I love this. For our light and momentary troubles. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. He's like, hey, listen. I know that, like, you know, some of us are losing heart. I know outwardly we're literally wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed. Our light and momentary troubles in this material world are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. He's saying, look, the challenges we're facing in the material world are actually calling our unseen world, the immaterial world, our soul and our spirit, to actually rise up in faith and become a different type of being. And in our light and momentary affliction, it is achieving within us. It's creating within us an eternal glory that outweighs everything we see. So we fix our eyes not on what's seen, but what's unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I think that scripture right there gets right at the heart of we must trust in God's sovereignty. So we need to stay in love. Number two, we need to trust in God's sovereignty. And number three, we must stay focused on building God's kingdom as he's at work within us. Listen, we have work to do. We have an agenda. I have an agenda. Scott Joseph Hayes has an agenda. It's just not ultimately red or blue. And I will vote Tuesday. And I hope you do too. But as I vote, I don't vote as red or blue. I vote as a kingdom independent. I vote as a Jesus follower. And I understand the situation we're in politically, that I have to vote for one of two options. But as I vote for one of two options, I will be doing it as a Jesus follower. That's my allegiance and that's my agenda. And my agenda is people coming to know Jesus Christ. That's my agenda. And we cannot lose sight of that agenda amongst the wrestle and strain of other agendas. Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is commissioning his people. And he's saying, listen, you need to go and make disciples of everybody. And by the way, I'll be with you working in you. Don't forget that. But we have work to do. And this is the great commission of Jesus, and he was giving it to his disciples. But as he gave it to his disciples and commanded them to go, by proxy, he gave that command to all of us to go and to do his work and to build his kingdom and to go. And he's with us always, surely very much to the end of the age. And this is our highest aim and purpose on the earth, is to be with God and to build his kingdom. And can I tell you that regardless of who wins the election Tuesday, our purpose in life remains exactly the same. 1 Peter 2:17 says this: show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Now, this is not, this is instruction from the Bible for how we live our life as we're on mission. I'll break it out and read a couple other verses around through the message paraphrase. It says this: make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Everybody, please lean in. We're closing here. Listen to this. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities. Whatever their level, they are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're in a danger, that you're a danger to society. And then check this out. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Whoever wins this election, we have the same mission. We're on the same agenda. We have the same assignment, and it's God's kingdom. And as we move forward, you guys, into this week and into this month and into this year, we need to remember that Wednesday morning when we wake up, we may not even know who wins the election by Wednesday morning, but assuming we do, Wednesday morning when we wake up, three things will still be true. Jesus will still be on the throne. He'll still be our king. The second thing that will still be true is that God's word will still be true and powerful and eternal. And number three, our mission will still be about sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people that desperately need him. And those are the things that we need to remember, is that what's at stake on Tuesday is not just a political election, as important as it is. What's at stake on Tuesday is something greater behind that, and that is the reputation of Jesus and his church. And we have work to do. So if the next 7 days go anything like we think they might, there's going to be a lot of hurting and broken and confused and scared people. There's going to be disillusionment around us. And let's make sure that those people hear Jesus and they see Jesus. And that as the kingdoms of the world quake and shake, that people look on at Jesus followers and say, why is that person so full of hope? Why does that person love like that? Why are they not afraid the way everyone else is afraid? What do they have hope and trust in? Why is there a peace coming out of something I can't see in that person? And I pray, Element, that we would be those kind of people. So here's my appeal to us as Jesus followers, that people would say of us, wow, they're sure full of hope. Wow, how are they so peaceful? I don't know if I believe like that, but they sure do seem like they care about me. And you know what, you guys, we have work to do in that, because Jesus prayed for us as his people that we would be one, as him and the Father are one, not just so we'd get along, but so that the world would come to know who Jesus is. So I'd like to close us by reminding us that there's a lot at stake on Tuesday, but there's something even greater at stake behind the political election Tuesday, and that's the witness of the church and the kingdom of God. And we can't control everything that happens this week, but we can control how we respond to what happens this week. And our God is in control. And as we release our control to him, let's let him be deeply at work and let's join him in the work. This morning, we're going to pray together and we're actually going to take communion together to remind us of what Jesus has done and what it means for us. And so as we stay in love this week, and as we trust in his sovereignty, and as we build the kingdom with him, we're going to take communion together. So if you go ahead, if you're a church at home group, or if you're at your house, you have a moment here, go ahead and gather your elements together. I'm not using elements for Element Church. They're actually called elements. The communion elements, and I'm going to grab mine here. And we're going to remind ourselves that that Jesus' physical material body was broken on our behalf to meet every need that we'll ever have in a material world. And we won't take it yet. I know some of us are still gathering our elements around. That's fine. But Jesus's physical body, God manifest in the flesh, his physical body was broken for us. And we understand that God cares about the material world. He cares about the created world. He made the created world. He came to the created world. And he did everything he needed to do to meet our needs in the material world. And as we move into this week, we remind ourselves that he met us physically, and that he was broken on the cross, and that he physically, bodily resurrected from the grave to meet our needs spiritually. And as we take the bread together this morning, let's remind ourselves and let's be contemplative about who Jesus is, that he paid for our sins, that he died on the cross to pay for us and resurrected to eternal life and invited us to join him. Let's take the bread together this morning. And in the same way that Jesus told us to take the bread and remember his bodily sacrifice on our behalf, he also, during the Last Supper, held up a cup of crushed grapes. And he compared the crushing of a grape to the crushing of his body and his blood that would be poured out for us in a new spiritual covenant. And so the same way that we understand that the body was manifest physically and meets us in our physical, material needs, his blood was poured out for us in a very spiritual way, that a spiritual covenant would be instated in which every wrong thing we've ever done would be paid for, and we would be brought back into right fellowship with God spiritually through his sacrifice on the cross and his blood being poured out on our behalf. And so we remind ourselves as we take the cup this morning that we are both provided for physically in a material way, and also we are provided for in the most spiritual covenant way we ever could think possible. And he said, take this cup, and every time you do, do it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup together. And the Bible says each time we do this, we remember Jesus, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes again. As we are almost moving into worship here, I want to just quickly pray over us for this week. And we recognize we live in a very material created world, and I want to pray over that for us and for you this week. So would you just bow your head with me and let me pray over us. Father, we pray this week for our nation. God, we are entering into a potentially very tumultuous time. God, we don't mix bones about that. But God, would you help us as your people remember that as the created kingdoms of the world shake and quake and wrestle, God, that your kingdom stands unshakable. So I pray for a reality, God, an illumination and revelation of your kingdom in us as your people this week. God, we pray for that. And God, we also pray specifically for our nation. We pray for America, God. We ask for your mercy over us, God, as a nation, God, we ask for your hand on us as a nation. God, we ask that we would make righteous decisions, God, from the individual decisions we make on a daily basis to the decisions that are made in the political spheres, God, all the way to Washington and the White House, God, that our leaders would make decisions that will honor you, God. And God, right now, God, we pray specifically for this election, God. We pray for our leaders, God. We pray for all of them, no matter what side of the aisle they're on, God. Your word says we're to pray for our leaders. So God, we pray for President Trump. God, we pray for him. God, we pray that you would lead him and guide him. We pray for VP Mike Pence, God. God, we pray for Joe Biden, God, the former vice president and God, a running candidate for president. God, we pray for Joe Biden right now, God. We ask that you would, God, help him, God, make godly decisions. God, we pray for Kamala Harris, God, and we pray that you would help her make godly decisions. God, we pray for our leaders that they would bow their knee and their hearts to you. And God, we pray that our country would be a country that honors you and serves you and follows hard after you. And God, that starts not in Washington. It starts in the church house in God's family. And so, God, make us your people that follow hard after you and live out of a different kingdom. God, we are truly sojourners. God, we're passing through. God, we are of a different place in a different kingdom. But God, we're here for now. And as we're here for now, we live from your kingdom into this kingdom. So God, let it start with us and let us be the ones that carry your life into our spheres of influence. And God, let us honor you with all that we do and all we are. And God, as our hearts are converted and changed, and as we live on behalf of you, God, and as we build your kingdom, God, let it ring out and let it ring into the spheres of influence and government and all the seven mountains of influence. And God, we pray for that and over our nation in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, for our responses, God, and as your people, that our responses would honor you, God, regardless of the outcome. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanted to share quickly, because I know we're about to go into worship. But before we wrap into that, no matter what happens on Tuesday, if there is a conviction that has been lit on fire in your heart during this time, no matter who wins, that doesn't have to go away. And we as people can make a difference. We as people united can make an even bigger difference. You know, we talked about last week how, you know, the blue and the red, that there's components in both that represent God's heart, but not completely, that we need to come together as a unified church to represent God's heart completely. And regardless of who wins, we still have the opportunity to do that, not only in kingdom work, but also in policy work. We're a democracy, you guys. We are a representation of the people. So we have to make sure that no matter who wins, that we don't rock back on our heels from the convictions and the burning that is in our heart, because it's not just our vote that makes a difference, it's our action. So remember that with God's wisdom, no matter what happens on Tuesday, we need to still continue to be people of action, moved by God's wisdom, moving within the system and structures that are in place. So do not let this election quench your passion. Let it continue to fuel you to continue to move on the God burnings that are in your heart, the injustices that you want to make right. Because people, like the individual candidates and parties, can't fix it alone. We have to continue to push as people of God to make the right or the wrongs right. So let's know there is great hope for continued movement in the injustices and the wrongs that we have been, that has been brought to our attention, that is heightened during this time, because we go, oh, wait, something good can happen. No. Something good can happen all the time, and it needs to, because this problem didn't get here overnight. It got here because of us rocking back on our heels in the middle zone. So the middle zone, these in-between times between these elections, is really the most powerful time for action. So let's remember that, you guys. Let's be full of hope and press in even more if we're unhappy. So let's ask God. Let's be led by God's wisdom of what we need to continue to do after Tuesday to fight these things.
That's good. I know we've done a lot of teaching this morning, so I don't want to do a ton more. We need to get to worship, but I will give you two quick thoughts. And number one, Jesus came in a very political time, in a time when Rome was actually dominating God's people. Mm-hmm. And Jesus did not overthrow the Roman government. Mm-hmm. And they actually expected him to, continually, mm-hmm. the entire time, mm-hmm. even to when he came into Jerusalem at the very end, right before he died. Right. They were all waiting for him to right the political wrongs, and mm-hmm. he never did. He refused. Mm-hmm. He introduced God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's one thought. And second thought, they did not live in a time when their involvement in a political system made much of a difference. You couldn't become from Jewish to Roman and then move into the Roman ranks and change the government. We live in a democratic republic. We live in a time where our actions do matter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have a responsibility before God to let our actions and our words matter.
And we have the Holy Spirit to continue to guide us.
Correct. So both of those things are true, you guys, that our ultimate hope is in God's kingdom, not in a political system. Jesus showed us that. And number two, that God tells us to use our action and our words to make a difference
and
for
we
him.
Can continue to do that. After
so Jesus. Let's do that. So let's go into worship. Let's let the Lord speak to us. We love you, and let's worship together this morning.